A big drop in the governor's approval rating. RFRA is to blame. The Pence Must Go movement. The CEO of Angie's List promises to become politically active, and the common wage bill heads to the governor. That, plus the governor's education power grab, a promposal, and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending April 17, 2015.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, a poll commissioned by Howie Politics Indiana shows that Mike Pence's approval rating has taken a big drop. The governor's job approval rating is just 45% in the poll from Bellwether Research. 46% disapprove. It's a big drop from 6 months ago when the Wish TV Ball State Hoosier survey showed the governor's approval rating at 62%. Pollster Christine Matthews says it's all about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
They don't think it should have happened in the first place. And a majority think it's going to have a negative impact on Indiana's economy.
In fact, 59% said that RFRA wasn't needed. The governor dodged the issue at a pre-kindergarten announcement.
We'll let politics take care of itself in the future, but for now, my focus is jobs and schools and seeing those bright and shining faces here.
Meantime, the poll finds that 54% of Indiana voters support civil rights protections for gays and lesbians. Senate Leader David Long thinks the damage is short term.
And I'm pretty confident long term we'll put that behind us, but it's it's just an unfortunate circumstance that occurred.
But the poll finds that 50% expect the Indiana economy will suffer long-term effects, and it's affected the governor's favorability rating, too.
You know, people aren't giving him the benefit of the doubt in terms of, you know, I like you, but you screwed up. It's sort of like, I'm not sure if I like you, and you also screwed up.
Can the governor recover? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney. Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender, editor at thestatehousefile.com, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Mike McDaniel, is that an unprecedented drop?
Well, it is certainly it's a very drop. I don't know that it's unprecedented. We've had other governors who have dropped below 40 at times during their tenure. I can think of a couple times. I can think of in the end of the first term of Bob Orr's first term, there were a lot of talk about how bad things were then. Mitch Daniels dropped below 40 after signing the major moves bill, and I think daylight saving time was in there about the same time too. But they bounced back. But I don't think it's unprecedented, but that is a severe drop, and to repair that damage for his own personal career going forward, they've got to be vigilant every day and stick to things that people care about, and it's got to be jobs and education, and they have to be diligent about doing that on every opportunity they can.
Do you think he's done falling?
No, actually, I don't think he's done falling. I think he'll bounce back somewhat. I don't think he's ever going to see 62% again. I think he's vulnerable for that reason, and you're seeing movements out there of people who ordinarily don't get involved in politics who feel so strongly about the damage that he's done to the state because of his political agenda, and they don't believe him anymore. And that's not surprising when he's trying to argue he's against discrimination and his main supporter on his website says this is about discrimination. So his credibility is damaged, which I think is even more important than the issue of whether you agree with him on the policy issue.
Yeah, in that last soundbite, the pollster Christine Matthews was talking about his favorability rating, and I believe it's 35%. People, if you just, at the mention of his name, have a favorable reaction, 38% unfavorable. That's not good.
No, that's not. And that's actually a big surprise for me in this poll, too, because the assumption has always been with Governor Pence that you like him, that he's a likable person, and that you're giving him the benefit of the doubt. For his numbers to have collapsed like that and for them to actually be lower than the job approval rating is very surprising. And so he does have a lot to work to done, and it's very personal, and that makes it even more difficult. And I think that's what differentiates it from the crises Mike outlined and the crisis faced by this governor right now.
Does this affect his ability to govern?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, that he still has to work with the legislature. Now, he's fortunate that the session is almost over. But he still has to work with the legislature, and he's not bringing any power to the table anymore. And lawmakers, I mean, they were just as responsible as he was for passing the Religious Freedom Act, but he's taking most of the blame, I think, and so I see them distancing themselves somewhat from him in this situation.
Well, he's taking most of the blame because they came up, at least in part, with a quasi-solution that made it look that he signed it, but they came up with it. He and the legislature and the businessmen are the ones who pushed that agenda. He did not. Mm-hmm. He kept saying there's no problem, there's no problem, there's no problem, and that's why his credibility is affected.
Go ahead.
Politically, they're 13 months away from a primary, 17 months away from a general election. He's got time to repair this.
All right, but some of that disapproval is on display. Yard signs that read, Pence must go, are popping up around town. Kevin Warren is behind the effort. He hopes to distribute 20,000 of the signs.
You've got to get involved. It seems we've been frustrated for so many years, but you can't give up.
Handle any, what if anything will that accomplish?
Well, I think it keeps the issue alive, and that's not the only source of anti-Pence signs and yards and bumper stickers. And he only has one short session left to try to redeem himself on this. And the question is, does he repudiate his base and stay away from the contentious social issues? And
no evidence of that so far.
No evidence of that so far. So if he comes back with something else, which I think is entirely possible given the nature of his support and his own ideology, I think the issue is going to stay alive, and it's going to stay alive through the primary, where I expect that he'll have opposition, and through the general, where I expect he'll lose.
Well, Mr. Warren is trying to sell some of these signs, and the proceeds go to Lambda Legal, which is an organization that defends gays and lesbians in legal battles. And they're going to push, among others, for more civil rights protections for gays. Is the governor going to have to go along with that at some point?
Well, I think that if you think about what they want to do and what they, meaning people, seem to want to do in putting protections in place, there's not an inch of difference between doing that and what they did with this fix. And so why you don't go ahead and do that.
You advocate it.
Oh, I just think they've got to. I don't think there's any question. I think they should do it now, quite frankly, only because I think there's not that much difference between what they did and what you're talking about doing.
And not have, as you've said, not have that debate in an election year next year.
And then you're going to have all summer, and you're going to wait till next year to do it. And it's going to happen eventually, one way or the other. And David Long is already talking about it, and I applaud him for that. But since there's really not that much difference to me what they're talking about doing, so, you know, they're going to have to step up and deal with this issue going forward. I mean, like it or not, that's the reality, political reality of the situation.
And if they stepped up and dealt with it now in this session, it would diminish the issue's potency later on. But Brian Bosma again this week turned down an opportunity to do that. So I don't think it's going to happen this week, which is why I think the drive to amend the Civil Rights Act is going to continue through next year.
You know, there are more subtle ways to do this. You could always insert it in the budget.
Of course, it's germane in the budget.
Everything's germane in the budget.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It is.
Okay.
One of the problems you've got here is that the state spent $2 million this week to hire a public relations firm to try to repair its image. Wouldn't passing the civil rights protection do that in a much more
You could do it for the price of putting those words into the code. That would resolve all of the problems from an image perspective. Then you could spend some of that money probably to say that you've done it and let people know. But as far as the actual act, that's the one thing that will diffuse this almost immediately.
I agree, and it is very surprising to me that they are thinking about putting that discussion off till next year. I'm not sure I believe that they would actually have that discussion next year in an election year coming right up on a primary. I think there would be too much fear to have it then. I think this is really the year to do it. If you're going to do it, it should be now.
Because if they don't do it next year, if they don't do it this year, and they don't do it next year, then it's really going to be difficult in the election because the question will be why? Why yeah. didn't you?
And $2 million doesn't cut it. It doesn't cut it. I mean, they couldn't even hire an Indiana firm for that amount of money.
It's
ridiculous.
$2 million would be smart to spend even if you did do it.
I agree with that. But here's why
I think eventually they got to deal with this. There are going to be external pressures because this issue is not going away in other states. And you're going to see similar situations in other states.
And Indiana
and
gets
that
mentioned
kind of,
in every
and that
story
kind of
that
environment is going to
country.
Build over the summer.
Right.
And so it is not going to go away. And the outside forces may cause it to actually happen next year.
Still with this, longtime Angie's List CEO Bill Osterle is stepping down. Osterle wants to pursue other interests. He's an outspoken opponent of RFRA and a former campaign manager for Republican Governor Mitch Daniels. He's indicated that he's looking to recruit a candidate for governor or possibly become one. John Ketzenberger, should the GOP be concerned about a party split?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you've got the makings here for an internal war between the two major factions of the party. And if it goes to a primary, that's what happens. You might want that, I suppose, because then you get the issues dealt with and resolved. But, that's a tough thing to do, and it will be a very nasty fight, and I'm sure it's one that they'd just as soon avoid if they can.
One thing the bellwether poll showed is that Mike Pence still wins a matchup against any Democrat that they put in the poll. I mean, he's
But the notable thing is that he wasn't above 50% in any of those numbers. I mean, he
wasn't above 50%
in
2012.
He won with less than 50% of the vote. But I don't think it looks good for him that he's under 50% against all of those people. And although I will say the most interesting one of all was that John Gregg was not higher than he was, given that he ran.
What was interesting was that the closest Democrat was Glenda Ritz, who no one anticipates will run for governor, and interestingly enough, had a lower approval rating than Mike Pence did.
But her disapproval rating was way lower than Mike Pence's.
She was within 3 points of Mike Pence in that poll. Do these numbers encourage Republicans to look elsewhere for a candidate?
I don't think so at the end of the day. I'd be very surprised if Bill ends up getting into this governor's race. Now, I think he'll have a voice, and I think he has the resources available to him, both of his own and with some other people, to make their opinions heard in some way, shape, or form. I don't see Bill as a statewide candidate. That's my own personal view. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I just don't. At the end of the day, I just don't think I see a primary fight.
Is it fair to look at what Bill Osterle is doing, though, and make the assumption that and I think it is that the Daniels crowd, the folks who left the governor's office a couple of years ago,
disappointed, betrayed, whatever you want to talk, embarrassed about the fact that they gave us Mike Pence as successor? I think they should be. Okay, and I think it's entirely possible they'll have a primary fight with that, and I think all of those issues ought to be discussed in a primary.
Well, and the other thing is, I don't know that we've seen the Democrat who would likely be the candidate.
That's a very important point.
You know, the other names
John
that Greg, have been mentioned.
John Gregg's aiming that direction, but there are other names coming up.
But I think there are other names coming up, and I think that there are other credible Democrats who might look at this now and consider that race. So I don't think that the three that were tested.
Right. Who besides Bart Peterson are you hearing?
Well, that's the one that I'm hearing the most.
Going back to your original question, which is this going to create a split in the party? You know, I already feel like we're seeing that a little bit maybe come about in the Senate race. If we could easily have Eric Holcomb, who represents that Daniels part of the party, against someone like Marlon Stutzman, who's much more on the Mike Pence side of the party. So you got that going on in the Senate race. If you get something like that going on in the governor's race, too, it will be a very interesting year for Republicans.
Elections always boil down to specific choices between the two people that are picked.
Right.
And right now, the leading candidate in the governor's race on the Democrat side seems to be John Gregg. John Gregg is not 2 inches different than Mike Pence at a lot of these
social issues.
That's for sure.
Right.
So that makes that dynamic different, clearly. And if he isn't the candidate, then that changes how this whole thing looks. The other people that you've mentioned haven't run statewide for the most part that I can see of, other than unless Barron Hill got in it. And he's looking at the Senate, we're told. But the rest of them, like Scott Piloff, who I think is a very articulate guy, so forth and so on, but they have no statewide experience, and the name ID is very low. That's why Mike is still ahead of all of these people in all these comparisons.
But not very far. Will be,
well, I'm just telling
you,
but he still is.
It will be a lot like the Ballard first race. This is not going to be a referendum. If we nominate someone who is markedly opposed or markedly different, which is a big question.
You're still 17
markedly
months away
different.
From this,
I understand that from Mike Pence. This will be a referendum on Mike Pence, and a referendum on Mike Pence,
you hope
he loses.
Is.
The bottom line, I think, is that this is a volatile issue, and will remain so.
It is a volatile issue if you allow it to be a volatile issue.
Right.
That's
right.
The thing.
Well, and they are.
So far.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question, will there be a contested GOP primary for governor in 2016? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, or C, at least three candidates will run. Last week's question, when will gays and lesbians be included in the state Civil Rights Act? 34% said next year, 16% said never, 50% said after an election or two. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to wfyi.org/IWIR and look for the poll. The bill to repeal the common construction wage in Indiana cleared the state Senate this week.
The roll call shows 27 ayes, 22 nays.
The vote in the state Senate was close, and opponents of the wage repeal supplied most of the debate as GOP leader David Long worked to keep supporters on board.
This is payback. Payback for all those groups who support a national agenda to do this.
The big rally against the bill on Monday failed to affect the outcome, even though supporters had trouble making a compelling case for the repeal. Mike Young of Indianapolis.
I don't think anything's going to change.
It will do nothing to cut cost.
And some of the most outspoken opponents were Republicans, including Vanita Becker of Evansville.
I do not think that this is good for middle-class Indiana.
It's the latest example of how the GOP is taking advantage of supermajorities in the General Assembly. For the middle-class workers who were at the State House on Monday, it becomes a campaign issue in 2016. Leslie Weidenbender, were you surprised by the lack of arguments in favor of that bill?
No. First of all, I think they'd counted their votes. I think they had a pretty good idea that they were going to win that vote. And I also think the Republican Party, although they were able to win the vote, is a little split in there, and I don't think most of them wanted to get up and exacerbate that at all. So, no, I wasn't surprised at the way they handled it.
That rally was a big rally. Not as big as the right to work rallies we saw, but same effect.
Oh, I don't know. The effect that it has and the issue I think has done has given the unions, has activated the unions for the next cycle. So, the fact that they were there in the middle of the week says something about it. And now it's incumbent upon them, if they're against it, to vote with their feet, their actions, and their money.
The argument that Mike Young made there that very little will change.
He's full of it. I mean, the bill there says that when you put out an RFP for whatever unit of government it is, you can't even specify a floor for salaries. So the floor for salaries for people building our big buildings at our universities and all of this will be the minimum wage. And you know what? My mother always told me, you get what you pay for. This is part of a concerted effort on the part of the Republicans to break the back of unions. But when they're breaking the back of unions, they're breaking the back of working income. And as Mike Pence and Mitch Daniels are both failures as governor, because Mitch Daniels said the only measure of success for a governor is growth in personal income, and it's gone down on their watch, and you can see that because income revenue, tax revenue, is down. And they look at that and they say, how can that happen? And then they go out and they do right to work and they do common construction wage.
all of the Democrats voted against this in both houses, but a number of Republicans voted against it in both houses, and we were told it's the ones who are in marginal districts. I mean, it's a political hot potato is what they're telling us.
Well, it can be, and I think I applaud the fact that they let them all vote the way they want to vote and don't twist their arms to do this stuff. And they had a healthy debate, not only in the floor on two different occasions, but I'm sure for hours in caucus over this issue. I wasn't surprised. I'm convinced that having a free market situation in public projects does save money. I'm absolutely convinced that's true, and we'll see. But there are protections in place, including insurance protections. Nobody's going to want to build a building that's going to have problems with it. This, you know, we heard all these stories about how right to life or right to work was going to be the end of the world, and that nothing really happened on that deal.
Well,
and they're not
going to
see it on
down,
this one.
Mike.
You're not
going to
see it on
income's
this one either.
Down.
The frustrating
okay.
thing, the most frustrating thing about this debate, the common construction wage debate, is that the supporters want to say it's going to save a lot of money but not hurt wages. And the opponents want to say it won't help, it won't save any money, but it will hurt wages. And neither side can have it both ways. And we're really going to have to see what happens. But both sides are exaggerating things.
Well,
here.
The one thing we can know will happen is that income will continue to decline under the Republican watch. That's the
Moving
one constant.
On. The bill to remove Democrat Glenda Ritz as chair of the State Board of Education survived a final vote in the Indiana House this week. There was a brief presentation of the bill and then no debate on the House floor prior to the vote. The final tally was 55-41 with at least 13 Republicans voting no. This bill is part of the governor's agenda and certain to become law. And Delaney, did the Democrats give up on that battle?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that they decided that they don't care what the voters said about who should be in charge of education for the state, and they want to bully Glenda Ritz. And I think that's also going to reflect on Mike Pence in the next gubernatorial election, because she has a strong measure of support, and people like her, unlike him. And on top of that, they're going to come out and they're going to vote. And they're going to vote against him because he is going to be held responsible for this as well as the others.
Okay. When's the last time you saw a major bill like this where the real point of the bill didn't get mentioned in the presentation?
Well, this has been debated over and over again,
yeah.
Clearly throughout the session. And it was decided, as David Long said over and over again early on, that we could not allow to continue having the dysfunction that they had
by
in a relationship
librarian.
Between the governor and that board. And
by a librarian.
You couldn't do it. Hey, she could be elected president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well,
she's
maybe
a librarian.
That'll happen.
Yeah. That's his
well,
she,
tell me
she's
this.
Bullying
but they
comment.
Couldn't allow that to continue to have mm-hmm. that kind of dysfunction. That's why they did it.
The cumulative effect here of the Ritz bill, the common wage bill, and RFRA, that doesn't represent what the governor wants it to represent necessarily, does it?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I've
there are a lot of folks who say this is a cumulative attempt to go after Republican opponents.
Well, I think that it's definitely going to be perceived as an attack on unions, sort of the voters, and I think what John said is right, that this just activates a group of people who might not have otherwise been activated for the next election. But I will say in that poll, I think, in fact, most people said they were okay with this change. So
yeah.
I'm not sure this yeah. one... In
and they don't understand
they
the...
Don't understand
and they don't
it
understand
is.
The common construction
else,
wage.
But not
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So what it yeah. says ultimately, and I think what has to happen, and Mike is right, it's a long time until the next election. They have to figure out a way, if they want this issue to make it matter, they have to figure out a way to explain it and carry the momentum.
Right.
That's difficult.
Finally, Indianapolis police helped a high school student with a promposal this week. The video was posted on Facebook.
Stop. Driver, keep your hands in the air. Higher. I want you to turn into a circle until I tell you to stop. Turn, 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 turn.
Oh my gosh, that's not even funny!
A successful promposal, but Mike McDaniel, is that a proper use of police resources?
This was an off-duty police officer, I understand. I'm surprised the girl
Two of
said.
Them. Two of
I'm
them.
Surprised the girl said yes after she was scared like she was. In my day, I was pretty bold in the way I asked my prom date.
Oh, how was that?
I called her on the phone because I didn't want to be there when she said no. So, that's how brave I was. So, yeah, I thought this was pretty bold.
Yeah, this whole promposal thing is kind of past me.
When you talk about weddings, you talk about all of these things have escalated so far beyond the realm of my experience, I can't begin to deal with it.
Well, it's because they can show everybody immediately how it goes. And I think that's, it's
everybody's
a
show, trying to outdo,
show it
off. Trying to outdo one another.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the StateHouseFile.com, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Cello of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.